Okay, it is not spinning anymore. So,
yay!
In theory, we are recording. In theory.
In theory. Usually in stereo. Now only in theory.
All right, Brandon, how have you been, good sir?
Hacking up a lung, but the Ross Nover 2019 Fitness Challenge continues.
Nice.
I am well above where we need to be for the benchmark. So things are going well. I've managed to bank quite a few things. So I'm about 130 squats over par. I'm the better part of 200 push-ups over par.
Oh my God.
And, where am I at? Another 130 sit-ups over par. So to this date, anyone doing the challenge should be at 700 of each. Some people falling behind. Some people are absolute maniacs. Ross Nover right now, to give you a comparison, Ross Nover right now sits at 1,318 sit-ups.
Oh my God.
Now, I was going to mock Ross for this. However, he was like, well, I've been doing this special workout thing and everything, and then I decided to look it up, and he's doing some ridiculous ab challenge thing where they're doing starfish and all sorts of, like, Jamie, there are moves that I've never even heard of. But then until I Googled it, it's basically where, like, you do, like, a V sit-up, and then you crunch all the way in, and then you suddenly spread your wings and fly, and you do as many of them as you can for, like, a minute, and then rest for 10 seconds, and then do a different exercise.
Nope.
And, yeah, and there's, like, a four-minute exercise block where you just fucking destroy your midsection. And No.
Why have a six pack when you can get the whole keg?
My feeling is it's like a cooler in here.
Yeah.
The six pack is in there. I know it's there. I'm just keeping it safe.
Look, Papa Rusev doesn't need a six pack.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, I'm keeping them nice and cold for when the time comes. Yes. That's the idea.
Yeah, can Ross take an empty keg and do this?
Probably. In all fairness, I really cannot beat up on Ross Nover. That dude is CrossFitting his way to victory, and I equally couldn't hate him or be more proud.
Now, is Chicken Arm Marty Day still in the running?
He is at par. So if
nice.
If we are to believe things are okay, he is following through with everything. He may be a motherfucking liar. I don't know. But some other people have been more honest and more forthright with their shortcomings. I'll call out a one Charm City Shinobi, Dan, newfound Father Malahome. is apparently somehow there aren't enough hours in the day for the shirtless wonder to do 50 crunches, which I find that really hard to believe for that guy.
I mean, he's busy.
I get that.
He's busy.
But you and I both know he could, like, pop his toes up on a door frame and do those inverted jobbies while he's brushing his teeth. Like, there's really no excuse for that guy.
Dan's not multitasking enough.
Yeah.
What he needs to do is have Miles as a counterbalance and just...
That's really what he needs to be. He needs to be doing, like, the air squats. At the very least, he should be up on the squats.
Yeah.
He should be holding his son doing squats.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's how Audrey and I used to get our exercise with Hazel. Like, those first couple months, we did the Hazel squats.
Yeah.
And then we just pass Hazel back and forth and, you know, keep going.
Yeah. A couple raises, you know, work the chest, work the arms. Yeah. Makes total sense.
Baby workout.
I assume that's how it works. As the baby gets heavier, you progress along.
Yeah, I mean, trying to do that with Hazel right now is not a good thing to do. You need like a back brace and shit.
Jamie come looking all yoke like a Kuma, just scoof.
What's her workout? Hazel. Rah!
Oh man. So yeah, that's what I'm up to. That's how things are going right now. Also tearing my way. I'm about halfway through the new season of Punisher. It is pretty good.
Oh, this is the second season?
This is the second season of Punisher. Yeah. That show is consistently been a lot of fun for, at least for me. Like I really enjoyed it.
The first season was so brutal. Like it felt like a study in PTSD, which is, I've never read the Punisher comics. So I don't know if this is something that they explore in the comics, but the show was just, it was like gut punch after gut punch after gut punch. And it was just,
This one, this season, at least I am at episode 6. I believe I just started and had to pause it to come down and record. It equally touches on that, and at the same time we're starting to see kind of some of the comic book characterness of things. Not necessarily a complaint, but definitely a different feel.
Jigsaw is supposed to be the main villain.
Like Jigsaw wears a mask in the first part of it, and it's very ornate and decorated, and it really threw me off until you find out like why it is that way. Like it makes sense in the story, but like I had no idea that the character of Jigsaw apparently great with a brush pen. Like little known fact, apparently designs his own mask and is just high five with a Sharpie, which, nice. Of all of the things I would expect a former Special Forces Marine to have, that is not one of them.
You gotta have them steady hands, man.
Steady hands are one thing, but you and I both know it is an acquired skill to have that hustle and flow.
Yeah.
So, Jay Minoguchi, what are you up to?
Let's see. I've been getting into photography, kind of.
I saw that. You've been playing around. Now, is this with the point and shoot? Is this a fancier camera that I have not seen?
Well, this is my main camera. It's a D5100. It's a Nikon D5100. It's old as shit. So like I think the 5300 is the current model.
I got you.
But, recently I got some prime lenses. So this, I usually shoot with like a 50 or a 35 millimeter, prime lens. I'm just trying to, I don't know shit about photography. So I'm just like playing around, trying to get used to it, trying to figure out the type of stuff that I want to shoot.
That makes a lot of sense. I have the same problem. I got the photo bug in me. None of you all know, Jamie Noguchi a while back gave me a very old Olympus camera that he had when he upgraded, maybe even to that camera that you have that you just showed me.
Oh yeah.
So I had gotten the bug to go start shooting and found that they've been doing a mirrorless, essentially DSLR style camera that uses a much smaller body. Ooh. So I had picked one up a while ago. This is an Olympus OMD E-M10II. There is nicer models. I think the 3 has a much higher megapixel or whatever it is. But the cool thing is it works with an adapter I found on Amazon, an aftermarket adapter for like $20. I'm able to use the old lenses that Jamie Noguchi had gifted me.
Awesome.
So I'm able to, get some really nice lenses. Now there are some drawbacks. It doesn't autofocus as quickly. I have to be very deliberate with the shots. So it's great for shooting nature, but not necessarily people. But I've been having that same kind of thing. This is actually the kit lens that came with it. I ended up getting a metal lens hood to reduce some of the glare that I've been using. This is the kit lens that comes with it. But
what is the focal range?
This is 14 to 42 millimeter.
Oh, okay.
So,
wide.
So that's been the other one. And then the second one that I've been using mostly is the super ridiculous 40 to 150 that you gifted me.
Nice.
And with the adapter piece, like I said, it's just a real simple adapter that you're able to get. I'm able to use that. So also, kids, if you are a camera buff, if you're looking to be a camera buff, whatever it is, the Micro Four Thirds cameras can use adapters with old style lenses. You may be able to save yourself some money as well and pick up used lenses or what have you. And that's
really cool.
Pretty cool. Yeah. So I've been picking up some cool shots. Just, you know, weather prohibitive with everything that's been going on with the weather. But yeah, a lot of the shots that I had posted when I went to Shenandoah the last time were shot on that camera.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah. So it's been a nice excuse to get out and move around. And I think, Jamie, you and I should probably talk about at some point along the way your preferred method of carrying a camera.
Oh, okay.
Because I haven't come up with a cool or comfortable way to carry a camera all the time. Like, I'm having an issue with two different factors. And I think I've got this one figured out, which is I don't do well with camera straps. It doesn't feel comfortable on me. I can't tell if it's like big guy in a little coat, and I just feel like carrying this tiny camera around my neck makes it feel like it's either too large of a piece of jewelry or too small of a piece of tech. So I ended up picking up this paracord style lanyard piece that hangs nice off my wrist.
Yeah.
So this way I can still carry it around, but if I won't actually drop it at any point along the way.
Yeah.
And then end up tossing it in the guts of the photo bag that you had gifted me. But I'm trying right now to find a daily carry bag, because I'm aware that if I don't start carrying this thing around with me, I'm never going to use it.
Yeah.
And that's been the hardest part for me, is trying to figure out a way to comfortably carry my camera with me just kind of all the time.
Yeah, I think Brittany and Johnny would have good ideas on that, because I know they have like these super nice aftermarket straps that are like super comfortable and they just feel really good to wear and stuff.
Right. But like, but
yeah, I don't know.
I like, and I feel comfortable with the wrist strap. The hardest part that I'm having trouble with figuring out is a good camera bag that is able to carry more than necessarily just my camera. So this way I can make it a daily carry thing, but not so small that it feels ridiculous on a guy of my size. And I know that's a personal problem that I have, but I'm going to take a shot in the dark and guess that some of our audience, especially yours, some of the people that I've met that are fans of yours, are men and women of larger carriage is probably the kindest way I can say it.
Yeah.
Like, I, you know, like shirt size, I have a 51-inch chest. Like, I got a lot of real estate up here. So when I wear a bag on my back, it has to look somewhat substantial. So I'm trying to find something that's like, doesn't feel like a baby doll backpack. But is also not a like ridiculously large messenger bag that I can very easily kind of swing to the side and then be able to pull up. So like, that's been the hardest part. Now, I know I'm a super big bag geek. If anyone's ever curious about suggestions on bags or ideas for bags or specific ones, I own a GORUCK backpack, which is a ridiculous style, military style backpack that, you know, I will never, ever need another backpack. It is the top, but it's a super expensive backpack. Like, I think I spent $350 on that thing.
Oh, my God.
Oof. Well, it was one of those things where I wanted a backpack that is designed to last forever, is warranted to last forever, and I wouldn't have to think about it again. Mm-hmm. So I spent it once, and then I'm good on that. I bought a Chrome Messenger bag a while back. I like that. It's a little too heavy. I have a Timbuktu bag. It's not bad, but
it's a lot of bags, yo.
Dude, I'm super bad about bags. Like, bags and shoes, I am a total, like, stereotypical white woman on that sort of shit. I love to find an excuse to get a bag for anything specific.
I bet some of those companies have like camera slings or camera bags or something like that.
They might, but that goes back to the same problem that I always have, which is a camera bag is designed to encase a camera, maybe a lens or two, and some small accessories, which means it is a small bag. It is, you know, smaller than a dinner plate. Mm-hmm. You put a bag that is smaller than a dinner plate on my back, and it looks ridiculous.
There's camera bags that have spaces for, like, big-ass lenses.
Yeah.
And they're a bit bigger, so maybe you need one of those.
That's what I'm thinking, yeah, is trying to figure out like that sweet spot of where I am. And then the other thing is I have trouble pulling a trigger on a bag that I haven't done a like bazillion years of research. Like that GORUCK bag,
yeah.
I did probably 2 years of cohesive research to really pull the trigger on that bag. And the only reason I really did it was because they were talking about their supplier having trouble getting materials. They were going to raise their price.
Oh, wow.
The bag that I have now is almost $400 at this point.
Jesus.
The funny thing is the resale value on it is almost as high.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's a ridiculous subculture. Like, Jamie, this is the sort of thing where former military guys take these things. They actually design it to put weights in. It's got, like, plates that you can put inside of it.
Uh-huh.
You carry that along with all of your gear, and you go on 20-mile, like, Tough Mudder-style hikes with other former military people. Like, it's a crazy subculture. I just wanted a really tough backpack.
I'm sure your camera will fit in one of those.
I'm sure it will too, but then it's a functionality thing. I want to be able to have my camera at easy use, so I want something that I can swing around and pull my camera out without having to take it off of me.
You might need like something, like a holster, like they have these holster things that kind of like pull
it. Yeah, like I can't tell if I need like a messenger bag that has that function, if I need maybe a messenger style bag that goes crossbody, but I need a clip so I can clip the camera to the front of me. So then when I'm walking around, I can just unclip it, use it, and then clip it back on, which might be the ultimate solution.
Yeah.
Instead of buying a new bag, I utilize one of the ones that I have and get some sort of quick release system.
Yeah. I think there's gotta be something for that.
There's a ton of stuff. Anyway, so there's a whole subculture of like bag things. There's a guy from Germany who's a film editor who I go through for like gear reviews and stuff like that. Like I am a total tech bag and gear junkie. I'm super bad about it.
This
is a byproduct of me not having children. I have cash for this dumb shit, and then I'm like, I should go buy this thing. It's like, you really don't need this thing, but I want it.
You should message that guy and say, look, I'm looking for tell him your needs. There might be like a whole category for these.
I have shot him a thing on Instagram. He said he was thinking about cutting a video. He does bag and gear reviews. If you type into YouTube, his name is Bo Ismono. And yeah, he's out of Hamburg, Germany, and does really cool like gear reviews on all sorts of stuff. He's the one who suggested the mouse that I actually use.
Oh, cool!
Because he does film editing. He hates the Apple mouse, but he uses traditionally Mac products, so he wanted to find something that was a little more robust and had the ability to switch between devices.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I picked up it's a Logitech MX Master. It's a fucking super nice mouse.
I also have a Logitech mouse, but mine's a gaming mouse.
Yeah, see, we have different needs. I want to be able to use – the other thing, I didn't want a dongle and I didn't want a wire. So this is all Bluetooth connectivity.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, because I'm a fancy bitch that way.
This one has weights, Brandon.
Anyway.
But yeah, I think I'm figuring out the types of photos I want to take. Like I want to do I have an idea for a photography book of just photos of – food. It's going to be called Terribly Tasty Food. Ooh. That Will Kill You. And just like, I don't know, weird portraiture shots of like Doritos, or because you know, you see fancy photos that are all staged and like, you know, restaurant quality stuff. No, I just want shit that you find off of the shelf and you put it in your face.
Maybe
we'll go to like fast food restaurant and I'll take like ridiculous portrait shots of, you know, McDonald's fries or something like that.
Right. Yeah. Like when you said that, my first thought was we need to take a field trip to a state fair.
Yeah.
Or like a food truck gathering or something like that, where we can get some of the like ridiculous deep fried whatevers or the concoction that this thing is famous for.
Yeah.
And you get those super close, like, you know, ridiculous macro photos where everything's real nice and tight. And
nice bokeh in the background. Nice, like, sharp focus. So I like that notion. And then like maybe walking around the city and taking shots when it's a little bit warmer, and then maybe doing, I have a 10 to 20 lens, which is like a super wide angle. So maybe taking like architecture. So I like architecture. I like people and I like food.
Okay.
So I figure, We do enough shows that like there's stuff out there.
Yeah. So I think we need a DC trip, you and I.
Yeah, when it's warm.
Right. Yeah. Like when it's warm, you and I, we do like the museums. We hit a bunch of food joints so we can cover architecture and food all in one trip.
Yeah.
And we'll not feel so terrible eating all of the terrible stuff we order because we'll end up walking all over DC.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a great city when it's not shut down for fucking reasons. But yeah, it's very walkable. There's a lot of cool stuff if you're into architecture. And yeah. There are a lot of interesting places to find food. A lot of the Smithsonian cafeterias, a lot of them are overpriced, but you know they have good stuff. And then like the hot dog stands on the sidewalk and all that kind of stuff. So
yeah, I mean we're bound to find some decent stuff. But I mean even if we ended up just kind of hitting up those little cool places, there was that taco place over by.
Oh yeah, District Taco. Yeah.
Yeah, like that place was amazing. We could totally hit something like that up. You snap a bunch of photos, and we call that a break in between whatever it is. Yeah. Just go gallivanting all around the city.
I think it's a great idea. So, like, I think I want to put together a book at some point when I figure out how to use my camera. I'm so lucky that, like,
You know, honestly, I would love for Johnny or Brittany to, like, teach a crash course in understanding camera, like – the lens numbers and stuff like that. Like I'll pay, I don't mind. Like I'm not going to waste their time, but like, I would love for someone who we know to just give a like, all right, idiots, here's what this means. Here's what this means. And then us be able to like, be like, I want to shoot food. What kind of lens should I use? Use this one.
Yeah.
Like I want to shoot landscape. What do I need? You need this here. And then this way we can take all the questions out of it. Cause like, I don't know what sort of lenses I need. Like the only thing I can pretty much figure out is if it's fucking huge, super long and really expensive, it's probably the one I want.
Yeah.
And that's like, if that's the golden rule, okay. But I don't necessarily believe that.
Yeah. The 70 to 200 apparently is like the gold standard for your everything lens. And it costs like $1,200.
Right, yeah, like that's the one that I'm eyeballing. It's like $1,325 or something for mine. Yeah. And I'm like, well, I want it. I mean, I'm not going to buy it, but I want it.
Yeah. Well, see, that's the thing. Like, got to figure out how to make money, which is why I want to do the book so I can afford to get more lenses.
Fuck that, Jamie. We just set up a corporation and then we just write the thing off. But I can't be like my issue now is if I get a lens that big, this is how big the camera is without the goddamn lens on it. It's goddamn tiny. I'm going to have a lens this big on it. It's going to look fucking comical. Like, it looks so ridiculous with the fucking one that you gave me on it. Like, it's not even that big of a lens. You get that thing on there, and it seriously looks like I'm wearing my dad's suit. Like, look at the fucking size of this thing by comparison.
Yeah.
It's more lens than camera.
Well, at that point, you go to a full frame. Full frame mirrorless, and you're good to go.
Yeah. But yeah, so I'm totally down for that. I think we should get a field trip together. I think it'd be a hell of a lot of fun.
Yeah. And I've been shooting my drawing vlogs with the D51.
Okay.
It does 1080, so just like regular HD and stuff.
Nice.
And then this little point and shoot I've been using for B-roll, like going out and doing B-roll and stuff.
Right.
Does 60 frames at like 1080 or 4K if I want to do 4K, but I don't give a shit about 4K.
I don't know if anyone who's watching your stuff is going to be like, well, I would, but it's not 4K.
Yeah, no one cares about Photoshop tutorials in 4K. It's stupid.
Yeah.
All right, Brandon.
Yep.
We have a topic.
Oh, shit.
Very early on, I think our first episode, we talked about Star Trek or Star Wars.
Okay.
And how to fix Star Wars.
Sure.
So now I feel it is time to fix Star Trek. Because
Okay.
Because Star Trek needs help.
In what way? Please understand, I am not traditionally a Trekkie. Like, I am aware of characters. I have seen most of the movies. I have not watched the first series all the way through. I watched Next Generation off and on. I probably haven't seen every episode. Mm-hmm. I, for some reason, enjoyed DS9 a lot more than I probably should have.
DS9 was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and then, like, I caught random episodes of the other ones, but have not, like, I would not consider myself a Trekkie by any means, but I know enough to be dangerous.
Okay, well, so, the franchise, as I see it, is kind of in trouble. The fourth movie is a no-go. Like, there were plans on making a fourth movie with the movie cast, the current movie cast.
Okay.
But that just fell apart. Like, there were
any particular reason?
There were talks about bringing back Chris Hemsworth.
Okay.
As because he's big now. You got to get Space Thor back. Somehow. Right. Wait.
What was Space Thor playing as?
He played Kirk's father.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, you don't remember that because he was in like 1 minute of footage.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there were talks about doing a time travel angle, bringing him back. But they couldn't get the financing together.
And that's essentially Guardians then.
Yeah, and so that fell apart. I think Zachary Quinto and Chris
Pine.
I think they've walked away from the project because contracting ran out. So, like,
okay,
they're not getting any money.
I don't know what Zachary Quinto is walking away from because last time I checked, he ain't doing shit. But right on, go ahead.
Star Trek Discovery has returned, which is the new show that's on CBS streaming. The first season got panned by fans, and like hardcore Star Trek fans absolutely hated it.
Okay, so that means it was actually watchable by the rest of us then, right?
Not enough people watched it.
Like, okay, well, yeah, because it's CBS streaming.
Yeah, so Netflix paid for the first season. Netflix decided they're out for season two. And so now season two, I haven't watched any of it yet. I think it just started. But they're bringing back the Enterprise and Captain Pike, who was the first captain of the Enterprise.
Okay.
From, like, so I don't know how deep you want to go, but, like, the original series, they did a pilot. No one liked the pilot, so they recast everybody, and that's where Captain Kirk comes from. So the very, very first episode was about Captain Pike and...
Wasn't Captain Pike a character in the remake movies? Because I thought Kirk takes the ship from Pike.
Yes, Kirk takes the ship from Pike in that in the new movies. So right. Discovery is going to pick up with Captain Pike as the captain of the Enterprise. So that's what the second season is going to be. And a young Spock is going to be in the season. And it's like leaning hard into nostalgia. And I...
Gotcha. Fuckable Spock.
Yes. Yes. And so...
Wait, who plays Fuckable Spock? Hang on. Continue on. What is this shit called? Star Trek
Discovery.
Okay.
STD, as it were.
That's unfortunate. Go on.
So I'll give you my opinion of where,
Go ahead.
I think things are. So I'm a huge Star Trek fan. I've always been a Star Trek fan. We kind of grew up with Star Trek. Next Generation was like a family thing for us. Sulu was a big deal for me because we didn't see a lot of Asian people on TV.
Totally.
The original series had the first interracial kiss. And in my mind, Star Trek has always been about holding up a lens to society or holding up a mirror to society. Talking about, you know, political issues, racial issues, through science fiction. And Star Trek has done that successfully throughout the various seasons, except Enterprise kind of shit the bed. The new movies are very much about action.
So okay.
Like, the Chris Pine Star Treks, that's known as the Kelvin timeline for the nerds out there. But the J.J. Abrams Trek is very much about action and fun. And I get it.
Yeah.
And it's enjoyable. And I watched it. And I liked it. I know a lot of hardcore fans didn't like it because there wasn't so much of the exploration or the, you know, seeking out new life and new civilizations or anything like that.
Right, okay.
I thought the third movie kind of veered into that territory, which I really liked, but not enough people liked the third movie.
And that one it was okay.
Yeah. So Star Trek Discovery to me isn't really Star Trek. It's kind of like grimdark fan fiction. Like,
okay,
if you were emo and edgy and you wanted to write Star Trek, this is the type of Star Trek you would write. There's nothing about like learning about new civilizations or challenging societal norms or holding up, you know, modern society and exploring it through science fiction. It's just, let's be as grim dark as we can. It's sort of like the DC movie universe. Let's make Superman super, super emo. Let's make Batman kill everybody. Let's suck all the colors out of this. And we'll make a whole lot of money because people like dark shit and they don't. But I enjoyed it because it was different. Like, they had a new take on Klingons and a new take on their religion and different clans. And I thought that was sort of interesting. And they had they introduced some new technologies. Star Trek is always good for like speculative fiction and speculative science and new technologies and things like that.
Okay.
Whereas Star Wars is very much fantasy wrapped in science fiction universe. Like, we have laser guns and stuff like that. Whereas Star Trek has laser guns, but they also have like a dissertation about how the shit works.
Right. One is more reality based, as reality as reality can get in a fictional universe set far off in the future or whatever we want to call it, alternate timeline, blah, 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 blah. Yeah.
So, okay. So not enough people liked it to propel the second season to going in that same direction. So instead of trying to branch out and do new stuff, they're leaning back into nostalgia, which I think is boring as fuck. Like, Star Trek to me should be about new ideas, bringing up new concepts or reframing things in a new and fun way. And I guess you could do that with the prequel series, but I'd much rather have them like explore beyond the stuff we know. Like, I don't give a shit about early Enterprise stuff.
Can I ask a question? Could we solve this problem by putting it on Netflix instead?
It was on Netflix. Like, it was on international Netflix. So if you hacked your computer, you could get it back on
Netflix. This is what I'm talking about. That's not on Netflix. Let's throw that. You can't be nickel and diming me here. What I'm saying is can I go upstairs or can I grab my phone, open the Netflix app, type Star Trek, and can I find this? And if the answer is no, then you're limiting your audience. No wonder it fails. Yeah. Like, you have literally created something and said, okay, we want to create a new product with a solid environment, with solid backing, with solid brand awareness, and we could put it on a trusted platform, or we could hide it and force people to use our antiquated streaming service because we're CBS and we think we know better. Look. The fuck?
Yeah.
The fuck?
I don't know why they didn't put it on
broadcast. Why not YouTube? Fuck broadcast. If they don't want to pay for the broadcast license or take the chance in losing the viewership, I get that. Like, because there's a catch-22 here. I remember there was a Star Trek with Scott Bakula. The Star Trek name's been real, real tinged as far as, like, this is a show that you should be watching in prime time. I think it's lost that ability.
Yeah.
But I think you need to make it easy for people to watch. If it's not on YouTube, Hulu, Netflix, or Amazon Prime, most people are not going to be able to stream and watch it. They're just not.
Yeah.
Like, you need a hardcore fan to go on to CBS's website or download CBS's, I can only imagine, terrible online viewing app to watch this on your phone. Because that's the only problem. Like, the guy who's playing Pike, Anson Mount, I don't know if you've ever watched Hell on Wheels on AMC. You need to go watch that shit, because for the first couple seasons, him and rapper Common are fucking great together. Nice. I mean, great together. He's a great actor. He carried the whole – actually, fuck it. He was on that show with the guy who was the Irish guy who was on Next Generation.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. So he's actually acting with Star Trek alum on that fucking show. Just like fucking double up on his pedigree. Yep. But like they've got a decent cast, and I felt guilty for a half second because I was like, oh, that fuckable Spock. And then I started scrolling through the cast, and the first thing you see is young Spock, where it's like baby bird Spock. And I'm like,
yeah, no.
And then continued along. And the kid, Ethan Peck, who was in 10 Things I Hate About You, he's been in a bunch of other stuff. He's a good looking man. A fuckable Spock.
I agree with you. I agree. Like, I have no problem with the cast. They got Michelle Yeoh in there.
Right.
Michelle Yeoh is one of my favorites.
They did a good job. So, like, this is the thing, Jamie. I can understand your legitimate concerns and complaints about them not forging out into new environments. Now, I can also, as a comparative to that, understand that if the first season was questionable, we want to bring in a well-known actor in a proven series that went multiple seasons on a cable network to then helm this sort of thing, you're going to lean on what you know will work. So I get the idea of leaning on nostalgia. I can't blame CBS or the producers or whoever's in charge of this show ultimately to make that decision to veer in that direction. Mm-hmm. It's a safe bet, and God knows if us nerds have taught them anything, what we know is what we will buy. That is just how, like, unless it's John Wick or something really fucking cool, we will not go branching out. Like, yeah. How much fucking flack did we give Aquaman before they cast Momoa? Because you and I both know if they cast Affleck as Aquaman, there is no fucking way any of us would go watch it. No. Like, that's what I'm saying is there are even proven properties that we won't fucking touch as nerds, and we are the bread and butter.
That's true.
Like, that's the idea, Jamie. I think it's like men 18 to 45 spend more money per household and per person than any other demographic, period. It's why we get all of these Fast and Furious movies. It's why we get all of these other things. So I get the idea of them going, well, the nerds in their late 30s who are bitching about Star Trek really want what they know. So let's give them fuckable Spock. Let's give them a badass lead. Let's lean on the shit they know so then their buddies can all hang out together or hop on Reddit and be like, did you see the tribbles? Larry, did you see the tribbles? Because of course we're going to fucking say that. Yeah. Like,
well, there were tribbles.
Yeah. Of course they're tribbles.
Yeah,
of course they're fucking tribbles.
And,
like,
and the first season was about the Mirror Universe, which was a concept from the first season, the very first Star Trek, that people latched on. It's like, oh my god, there's a dark universe. This is pretty cool.
Right.
So they did enough touches for nostalgia. It just didn't work. And so now they're leaning heavier into nostalgia. And I agree with the point that they need to do something to bring people in, except it's still on CBS streaming, which no one gives a shit about.
That's my problem. I think whatever the fuck they do, if it's not on a major streaming platform, you are losing. You're shooting yourself in the foot.
Yeah.
Like, I created this great product. Cool. Yeah, it's got cool designs and it's printed really well and it's on cool, comfortable clothing and everything else like that. And I think everybody would absolutely love it. Cool. What's your website? Well, I don't sell it online. I only sell it at conventions and shows. So you'll have to just kind of find me. I mean, I might sell it online if you email me. Wink. Like, I may be intentionally throwing a little shade here, but that's the idea. If you've got a great product that sells well, that gets a ton of reaction from everyone, that has a small cult following, or in this case, a huge cult following, and you're not giving people an easy way to have the thing, I understand there's a catch-22. If you are looking to push the CBS streaming service, this is it. I cannot argue that. If you are not going to throw buckets, and Jesus fuck, I mean buckets of money, into advertising on other streaming services for not only your product, but how to watch it, there is no way it is going to get picked up. If I don't see ads for this as, you know, sexy photo of new captain in slow moving thing with half grizzled beard, fuckable Spock showing up, random cast member this, random cast member that, flash, 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 all the cool, like, that's the thing. Jamie, I know more about the new Star Trek mobile game than I do about their new show.
Does the mobile game have fuckable Spock?
I don't know, because all they show me is cool ship in space flying through some sort of other Klingon ship, and then all I see are what I assume to be Enterprise, not quite Enterprise, not quite Enterprise other, and then like Enterprise 2 Electric Boogaloo. Like, I have issues with Starfleet after really seeing that whole thing, because I'm like, wow, I thought this ship was kind of special. It turns out it's like the Honda Civic of space.
Yeah, it's a class of spaceship.
Which, man, is that really fucking disappointing. Like, I want it to be the Falcon. Like, yeah. I want the Enterprise to be special. And when you find out, it's like, nope, it's just a name that's on the same kind of ship as everything else. It's like, that's not so special.
Well, it's the crew what makes her special, Brandon.
No. You and I both know, you Gundam toy buying motherfucker, you need a special edition to sell the toys. Yeah. That's how this works. Yeah. If I want a special ship, I want fucking what's his face as X-Wing? Because it's black and orange. I want that Oriole special X-Wing.
Yeah, like, I mean, that thing is beautiful. Badass. Yeah.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Poe Dameron's. Yeah.
Poe's got a fucking custom BB-8. There are other BB units, but right out of the fucking gate, it's one of a kind BB-8 unit that's painted white and orange. Says it right out of the thing. Special edition like a motherfucker. Just right out of the
gate. It's Baltimore right there.
That's what I'm saying. Like, dude, Mace Windu'd his shit right out of the gate. Which one's my lightsaber? The purple one. Why do you get a purple one? Because I'm Mace Windu, motherfucker. That's why I got a purple one. My lightsaber is the only one that says bad motherfucker on it. Like, that's how that shit works. And that's why Mace is special. And that's why when they sold the toys, the first thing I asked a question of is, can I buy that Mace Windu lightsaber? And when the answer is no, or you can buy it off eBay and it's super expensive, I'm like, I'm good. Uh-huh. That's the trade-off. Like, I don't need that little Yoda dagger. I don't get me wrong. It's fucking cool. Like, that move right there, that's part of the prequels. He fucking whips that shit out. Things like, frip. Yeah, and Yoda's all down to clown. I'm into that. Again, they're shooting themselves in the foot. There should be Facebook ads. There should be Instagram ads. There should be all sorts of targeting. And frankly, if I don't see it, okay, fine. I don't say Star Trek enough out loud. Watch, I start seeing way more ads because everything listens.
But the fact that
you haven't seen it tells me everything. Yeah. Because if you're not seeing Facebook ads, if you're not seeing Instagram ads, if you're not seeing Twitter ads, if you're not seeing them pop up in the headers, footers, and margins of all the websites that you're doing reference lookups for photos and everything else, like while you work, they're not getting their audience.
Yeah.
If there isn't a gigantic Star Trek banner hanging up at Awesome Con, at this, at that, they're missing their fucking opportunity.
God, that's perfect. Awesome Con is coming up too.
Awesome Con is absolutely coming up, and I'd be curious if any of this cast is actually going to show up to the thing. But I can tell you right now, I know more about the new DBZ movie than I do about the new Star Trek series.
Have you seen the DBZ movie?
I haven't, but I know it exists, which means I know more about the fucking DBZ movie.
It is so good, Brandon. Oh my God. It is so good.
But that's more to the point. I know that a DBZ movie exists. Until you cornered me about this, I had no idea this existed, where I could watch it, who was on it, and then an actor that I genuinely enjoyed in all, what am I looking at now? I don't even know, 5 seasons of Hell on Wheels. Mm-hmm. I didn't know where he went. Now I know where he is. Now I'm half debating watching it. I probably still won't. Why? Because CBS streaming.
Yeah.
Fuck off with your shit. I don't need another goddamn app.
I think they should have done some kind of, so are you aware of like the Fathom events where they have like random premieres in the theater, opera or like an anime thing?
Operas and concerts and blah, 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 blah.
Every once in a while they'll do like a Doctor Who screening in the theaters or something like that.
Sure. Okay.
I think if they did something like that, like in the ramp up to this, maybe like put the first 2 episodes as an event. And then, like, hand out, like, subscription cards or something. I don't know, something to get people out to.
You know what? I shouldn't pigeonhole that. Yes. Because at least it'd be fucking something.
Yeah.
Like, I need something to get the thing. Now, Jamie, by comparison, by the way, I clicked through the guy who plays Captain Pike through Hell on Wheels, and right on IMDb, I can watch him prime right now. Mm-hmm. I can click one button and go start the other series that he was in on a cable network that does not have big name network money, and somehow the current series that he's on that I'm looking at the goddamn IMDb page for, guess what? I can buy it, but I can't go fucking find it.
That's so bad.
That's what I'm saying, man. So bad. Like, actually, you know what? I stand corrected. Hang on. I can watch on Prime. Let me see. Maybe I'm being an asshole. Let me see. Or is it just that I can buy it? Watch with CBS season? All Access. I have to pay extra for a CBS All Access package.
Oh, so it's like Stars. It's like extra.
Yeah, it's extra. Ugh. And I got to be honest with you. I don't know what I would gain with CBS All Access.
What's on CBS these days?
I have no fucking idea. Hang on. Let me see. What are we looking at? CBS All Access. Check live TV availability by location. Okay. $6 a month with commercials. $10 a month commercial free.
Jeez.
Oh, that's normal.
How about they pay you?
Now, bear in mind, Jamie, I'm also the one who's guilty of I pay $5 a month for Motor Trend on demand so that I can watch all of the Motor Trend stuff. And then they also have all of the Discovery Channel car shows.
Yeah,
so let's,
but I mean, that's a specific niche. Like, if they had Kung Fu Masterpiece Theater,
thousands of episodes, exclusive, like, what do we got? Yeah, maybe I'm just an asshole. Well, it turns out you can watch. I think the problem is I have no fucking interest in anything CBS. Let's see. No, I don't want to fucking watch your thing. What do we got? God damn it. No, fuck off, Julie Chen. I don't want to watch fucking Celebrity Big Brother.
Because, like, if you do the HBO thing, you can watch Grammy. It on mobile, you can watch it on streaming, and you get Westworld, and you get Game of Thrones, which are freaking amazing.
Which are freaking amazing, but they're not worth the $15 a month that you have to pay for it through the Amazon service. I know, or through Hulu,
yeah.
Which I know this because I bought it when I was on vacation. I did the 7-day trial. I caught up on everything and then I canceled that shit.
Yeah.
But what do we got? Popular, let's see, A to Z. Let's see how far back this shit goes. Academy Awards of Country Music.
Nope.
Amazing Race.
Nope.
Okay, so we can go back and watch the classic Beauty and the Beast. Nope. We can watch 90210, Bang the Theory.
Ron Perlman.
Yeah, but it's not very good. 90210.
Nope.
Blue Bloods with Donnie Wahlberg. You can watch Bold and the Beautiful. You can watch all of the old soap opera shit.
Nope.
CBS Sports, you can stream that Caroline in the City. Come on.
We should get to 50% Yup, and then maybe.
What episodes of Cheers?
No.
Everybody Hates Chris was pretty good. That's on there.
Okay, that's a Yup.
Let's see. Frasier?
No.
Let's see.
Does Frasier include him as Beast? Like if he walks around in blue makeup?
No, it doesn't. I don't see any movies
far. Is there a plugin where I can make him be the Beast throughout Frasier?
No, unfortunately not. Right. You can get both the new version and old version of Hawaii Five-0.
Nope.
How about the In the Heat of the Night? Maybe? No?
That was actually pretty good.
That was real good, in all fairness. We can do some Late Show with Stephen Colbert. I have enjoyed the clips, though I can probably watch the most of it on YouTube. Let's see. The Magnum PI remake. The MacGyver. I love how this is listed. MacGyver and MacGyver Classic. Now, bear in mind, you are talking to someone who owns, now mind you, it was a gift, who owns the DVD collection of MacGyver. And the discs are in cardboard cutouts that are designed to be duct tape style packages. So. That is a group of people who know their audience.
We got 4 out of how many?
Okay.
Okay, we're not at 50% yet.
Yeah. Murphy Brown, all of the NCISs.
My parents would love that, but no.
Yeah. That motherfucking Nash Bridges. Hell yeah. Little Cheech Marin. You can fight me on that. Five. I'm telling you right
now. You got five.
Let's see. Okay. Price is Right.
That's only good if you're in college and you're hungover.
That's true. Let's see. The remake of SWAT. Not classic SWAT for some reason. Okay, here we go. Hang on. Okay, the Star Trek fan can eat this up. Star Trek the original series. Ooh. Star Trek the animated series. Ooh. Star Trek Deep Space Nine. Ooh. Star Trek Discovery. Ooh. Star Trek Enterprise. Ooh. Star Trek Next Generation. Star Ooh. Trek Voyager.
Ooh, that's 12. Oh, we're up to 12 now. Because the animated series, that's hard to find.
Well, Jamie, I'll say this. I think they might just not be doing great on the marketing. If you're a Star Trek fan and you want to watch Star Trek, this could be worth spending, what, $20 for the 2 months worth of streaming when you catch up for everything commercial free and have it on as background noise?
Yeah.
I mean, hell, just the next generation. Now, hang on a second. I'm curious if it's the full series.
Should be 7 seasons for all of them except for Void, except for Enterprise. I think Enterprise is 5 seasons.
Okay, 7 seasons for
the cartoon in the first series didn't have as many seasons, but like Next Gen, DS9, Voyager all had 7.
Yeah, my bet is that CBS owns the right to this, so they probably do have everything. Season 1 and season 2 of the animated series.
Nice.
I got to be honest with you, Jamie. I think I may be coming around on this if I were a Star Trek fan. Mm-hmm. I think they just got to do a better job of marketing this.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I like
they do have Taxi, which is fucking great, and you can fight me on that if you don't like Taxi.
All right, we got 13.
and Wings.
We got 13.
God damn it.
I don't like Paul Cartney Wings. I don't like the show Wings.
God! And 60 Minutes.
Oh, okay. If you like to be angry.
Yeah, that Morley Saver? Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I wonder if there's that old dude Andy, who does all...
Andy Rooney? Or, I'm Andy Rooney.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, where he,
yeah.
Fuck 51 seasons. They're all there.
Oh.
51 seasons.
Oh, wow.
Well, hang on a second. No. Season 44, season 46, 47, 48, 49, 50, and 51.
Oh.
Where are all the old seasons?
Yeah.
The fuck, CBS?
Why you gotta tease us like that?
Yeah, I get 2012, or do I get the campaign 2012? Oh, campaign 2012. Better times. Hey, look, Jane Goodall hugging a monkey.
So we're up to 15?
Yeah, I gotta be honest with you. I don't think I'd pay for it, personally.
But they need to advertise that when they're doing... The few times I've seen Discovery ads, I've never seen them put up the fact that and with your subscription, you get a whole shit ton of Trek with it. Like, I've never seen that. I've never seen
They really need to talk about that they have access to the entire Star Trek backlog.
Yeah.
Because I got to be honest with you, I think a lot of us nerds would rather, like, I'm assuming most hardcore Star Trek fans all have these things on VHS and DVD and or DVD and or this and or that. To be able to stream it wherever you want, that's kind of cool.
It is.
Like,
yeah, like we have the original series on VHS, but having it like streamable, that's great.
Being able to watch them on your monitor while you work as background noise and be able to go, you know what, fuck it, I'll restart DS9 and tear through all those seasons and have it on as background noise. Yeah. I mean, I get it, and I get the rewatchability. You're talking to somebody who's watching West Wing for the, like, 8th time.
It's so good.
Anyway, so, you know what, I think I gotta digress here, Jamie. Your complaints are valid as far as content goes, and I get that you come from an old school fan perspective, and I can't argue that, one, because I don't have the background in it to reasonably argue it, and two, I'm not vested in it enough to be able to put forth a real opinion.
Yeah.
But as far as the, like, why the fuck isn't anyone watching this? I think they just got to do a better job.
Yeah. I mean, people have to know that they really have all the trick.
Yeah. Why are the ads not popping up that this is a Prime add-on? I wonder, this may be a channel in other places too.
Yeah. Because a Prime add-on, you can accidentally add stuff. Like, we accidentally added HBO once. We're just like, oh, okay, I guess we had to get HBO for a while.
Yeah. Let me see. Try CBS All Access. Where can I stream it? Yada, yada. Okay. So I can stream it on there. Let's see. Apple TV, Android, Google Chromecast, Fire TV, iPad, iPhone, PS4, Roku, Samsung, Vizio. It's a Vizio plugin. That's interesting. Windows 10 and Xbox. So you've got the ability to stream on a lot of different stuff. Again, I go back. I don't know if it's necessarily worth it. It also has, I noticed that they don't mention here about the plugin through Amazon.
Yeah, that's big. Because that's easy.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I got to be honest with you, Jamie. I don't know what the problem is. I don't know why with all of the other ads for all of the other things that I'm seeing, I'm not seeing ads for this.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm the wrong demo. I feel like you're definitely the right demo.
I've seen like a handful of Discovery ads, but I've never seen a thing that says, with CBS All Access, you get all the Trek, including the animated series.
Yeah, I think you need to, like, at CBS and just be like, yo, son, y'all missing out. Start telling the Trekkies that you can watch everything in one spot.
Yeah, just mainline it right into your vein.
Yeah, like,
it's great. If people are bitching about the new series, you get all the old shit.
Yeah, go back and watch all the old shit. And, like, what's worst case? They all get 1 month out of them?
This month?
They find another... Right, yeah, like, fuck it. You're not going to get these... It's funny. I really think CBS has done themselves a disservice in a lot of ways, at least with our community, at least that I can speak for, by having the new Star Trek and Big Bang Theory on the same network. It feels equally good, pandering, and insulting all at the same time. And two of the three of those, that's a great.
Bazinga.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad Jim Parsons getting that CBS money, but I don't care for that show.
I as well.
Yeah. 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 Oh, God. There's nothing that I hate more than a nerd buying fucking Big Bang Theory shit off of ThinkGeek.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Kids, bear this in mind. Hear the sound of my voice. If you are at a convention that I'm at and you're wearing Big Bang Theory gear, the desire to punch you square in the face is strong. I may not act on it, but if you think that you hear someone calling you a punk-ass motherfucker, it was me. I can promise you. I'll probably wait for you to walk by. I might not.
Yeah. Like a little shoulder check. Oh, sorry. Sorry, I didn't see
you. Bitch. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They just got to advertise better. They
got to do better advertising.
They need a Fathom event. They need to just throw it in your face that they have all the Trek. All the Trek. All of the Trek.
Facebook, Instagram ads, something, something, something. Fucking advertise on other Amazon shit.
Yeah.
I'm watching the Motor Trend channel and I'm not seeing any of it. On Amazon.
Yeah. It should be there.
You would think that they would be trying to encourage you to watch the other things on Amazon, the other channels.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know.
This could also be a byproduct of just Amazon trying to take over the world. And it's like, look, I can only do with so many fucking things at one time. Okay. Like either you can buy dry erase markers that have my name on it, or you can watch Star Trek, but I cannot fucking focus on both. All right. Like, yeah, it's one or the other. Yeah. I can make you a backpack, or I can stream another season of fucking Star Trek. You ask too much of Mother is really what I'm getting at.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we've done it.
Yeah, we've solved it. We shouted about it for an hour, and then God knows, I think it's an hour. It's probably an hour.
It's an hour. Yeah.
Anyway, okay. Yeah, just about an hour. Yep, 30 seconds left. So we shouted about it. Hopefully it'll show up. If you haven't seen an ad, and I bet that you haven't, go on to CBS All Access. You can get it through your Amazon Prime channels. You can go and download the app, God forbid. And you can watch all of the Star Trek. If you're a Trekkie, fucking watch that shit, man. Like, give them the $10 at least for the month. And don't sit through commercials. You're better than that.
Yeah.
You're worth the $3. Hear me right now, okay? You are worth the $3. Your life is worth something, okay? I'm telling you right now. Don't sit through commercials. Don't do that. Pay extra for that sort of shit. Like, if you got Hulu, pay extra to turn them motherfuckers off, all right? You're worth it. I promise you. Like, eat ramen another meal during the month and don't watch commercials. You'll be happier. You'll be fatter. You'll have diabetes. You'll have really high blood pressure from all the salt. But who cares? Because you will have to sit through another fucking Geico commercial. And if I got to watch that goddamn camel ask me what day it is one more motherfucking time, I'm going to break some shit. You're worth it.
All right. Well, that's going to do it. Remember, friends, you are worth it. Brandon Chalmers, where can people find you?
You can find me on Instagram at that guy Chalmers. You can type in Brandon Chalmers into a fine Google machine, and you'll probably come up with me. You might find the Chalmers University in Switzerland, which I'm really very seriously debating just writing a letter and just asking them if I can get an honorary degree. Like, I think that's how that works. Like, if you've got the last name, like, I get Smith College isn't going to fucking do that for all the Smiths. But, like, if you're not lazy as fucking named your college Smith College and you've got a special name like I do, I at the very least I should get some sort of like completion letter or something.
Yeah, you should get a plaque or something.
Yeah, like, or can I send you like $5,000 and I get an honorary doctorate? No one's gonna follow up on that shit. Seriously, like, all I really want to do is be able to walk around and correct people when they say Mr. Chalmers, and I go sorry, Dr. Chalmers.
Nice.
I promise I won't try and save anyone's life on an airplane or anything else like that. I'll be that dick.
Not that, yeah, kind be of like, doctor.
Don't you have a doctorate? And most people are like, oh yes, in English literature. And I'll be like, honorary. Honorary. Yeah. Yeah. What about you, Jamie? Where can they find you?
Well, you're probably watching this on the YouTube, so you found my channel. Angry Zen Master on Twitter. Jamie Noguchi on Instagram. I'm not going to bother putting up the email address for the show because I still haven't figured out how to fix it.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. If you got an idea for a show, shoot us a message somewhere. Tweet it. Put it in the comments. Instagram. Jamie reads those things. Yeah. I don't. Jamie, I have a moratorium on comments. I really, like, honestly, that's why I got rid of Twitter. I couldn't bring myself to do it. You can feel free to tweet at me at Brandon Chalmers on Twitter. I won't fucking see it. Feel free to tweet at me. Say some awful shit. Don't even care. Like, I'm the one guy when you're like, this motherfucker's terrible. Tweet at me. Go ahead. Just tag me in all sorts of, and actually don't tag me in all sorts of shit. Tag me in your angry shit. When you're mad about something, just start fucking yelling at me.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Nice.
My shoulders are broad and open to the world. I'll take your problems. Go ahead. Tweet at me. I ain't going to get angry. I won't see it. I'm like the Catholic Church. I'll ignore your problems and you can call me a great father figure. It'll be great.
Hooray.
That's right, America. That's right. End the video.